painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking. KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Today on Artbeat, we talk to Paul Santarude, writer and director of Theater de Mississippi's 6th annual Christmas radio show at the Black Box Theater here on the campus of Winona State University. Paul talks to us about the challenges and rewards of writing and directing a radio show for the stage. I'm Bill Stoneberg, and this is Artbeat. Well, I'm here with Paul Santarude today, and we're going to talk about the 6th annual Christmas show at the Black Box Theater. How are you doing today, Paul?
I'm doing very well. I'm kind of wondering when this weather is going to stop, but I'm going to take it while it's here.
Yeah. It's a little warm out, so that's like one plus for me anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's get right into it. What inspired the annual Christmas show? How did that decision come about to be a radio show?
Dan Munson, who's our artistic director, and I were sitting around one day saying, you know, we really should do something for the Christmas season because Christmas offerings in town, I mean, there's a lot of them, but, you know, we felt like we should be part of that.
Right.
But it is the Christmas season, so it's hard to get people to commit to a full rehearsal period and that sort of thing. So we conceived of the idea of the radio show because it's minimal rehearsal period, about a week. And then we go up, and it's script in hand, and it also gives us the opportunity then to revisit it, you know, either on our website or, you know, broadcast, whatever.
So
we just thought it was kind of fun. And surprisingly, once we got into it, we found out that there was actually a tradition of doing radio shows in Winona. When we were doing one a few years ago, I had uncovered a newspaper article from 39 maybe, where they were advertising for people to do radio dramas so that that the local theater group would then present for the public.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I like that. How has it evolved over the years then? So you guys have been doing this for 6 years. How's that gone?
Well, every year it's a little different. I've written about half of them, I think. And we've had some guest writers, and we've had Steve Anderson, who grew up here, is a real old radio buff. And he used to write, when the period is appropriate, when we were doing like the 40s and that sort of thing, he would write a new episode of, you know, whether it was, you know, the Lone Ranger or, you know, something else that was, that used to be on the radio. And he did a really fabulous job of capturing that kind of experience.
Right. The little serials that were in there. Yeah. Cool. You mentioned different time periods. This one's set in 1968.
Yep.
Are there specific historical events that you include, and how do you decide to focus on that?
I mean, that's part of why we choose the years that we do, because there's something going on that seemed interesting. 1968, of course, was a year of great turmoil.
Right.
And I was interested in looking at, you know, how did this play out in Winona at the time.
Okay.
So and the nice thing about we did some things early on in the 30s, but finding people to talk to about that is getting harder and harder.
Oh, sure. Of course. Yeah.
The last couple that I did one in 59 and now in 68. And there's a wealth of people to tell me stories of what it was like here in Winona.
So it's specific to Winona then, too.
Yeah, it is specific to Winona. Oh, cool. It is fictional. Though there are events and places and people that are referenced, I don't try to make any living person a historical or a living person be a historical character in a play, because it would be difficult, you know, and border on libel.
right, for sure. That would be tough.
Especially the way my mind works, so.
right. Cool. Speaking of which, so it's the time of the draft and the war's going on.
Yep.
Is it difficult to write a comedy that's dealing with those subjects? How does that work?
Not particularly hard. Just because I think that certainly when I was listening to the people who graduated in that year, there was a certain ambivalence about what was going on in the world at that time, even though it was having an impact on them, there wasn't a sense of urgency on their part
right.
to address what they saw were problems or issues. So I said, well, you know, maybe I should try to capture that. So I hope that I've got some of that. Plus, I mean, that time, everybody was letting their freak flag fly.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I could get a hold of that and try to set up, a dynamic between somebody who's older and more crusty and that sort of thing, as well as the people who are kind of really out there,
right?
It adds more to the humor.
Okay, so it's a little of that give and take between the two kind of sides that right. going on at that right. time. Okay. And you also mentioned the serials and the Lone Ranger, things like that. Do you also have advertisements?
Yes. In past shows, we've sort of reproduced them because they aren't available, and so we would reproduce them. But now that we've hit 1968, a lot of that stuff is available. And so we're able to grab that and play commercials from the time period.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that'll be a real kick in the head for people who were there.
Right. A lot of memories, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So do you play actual audio from commercials back
yeah.
then? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not done live. It's kind of inserted into the show,
right,
huh?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Without, you know, giving any spoilers or anything, are there any particular products that are kind of fun that you did?
Oh, there's the ones that I particularly enjoyed finding were the Lemon Pledge.
Okay.
Because, you know, dusting is so important.
Well, it is to some people.
Yeah. And Roach Motel.
Oh, wow.
That has a place in here. As well as some of the toy commercials from Christmas of that year, which were very moon-oriented because at Christmas of 1968 was when Apollo 8 was going around the moon.
Which
was
cool.
The first time that we went around mm-hmm. the moon in preparation for the moon landing the next year. And then there was a lot of space-oriented things.
Cool.
For those of us of a certain age, we remember Tang and space food sticks and
right.
that kind of thing.
Oh, fun.
Plus the usual, what was our attitude towards cigarettes and drinking and, you know, all those other things, which
right.
is vastly different than it is now.
Yeah, it is for sure. Do you have people that are like, I know you can't do actual smoking on stage, but do you have people like pretending to smoke? I mean, because everybody did back then, right? Or at least it was still pretty common,
right.
or
probably more common than it is now. And we'll probably come up with some way of making that apparent without
okay.
actually having to have smoking on stage.
Right, so. Right. Probably be a hazard these days.
Yes.
What's your writing process like? Like, how do you get in the mindset of that?
The first thing I do is I do a lot of reading, particularly
okay.
of the newspaper of that year,
okay.
but specifically the month of December to find out what was going on in town at the time that
mm-hmm.
made it newsworthy. And then I'll... the last couple of times I've gone down to the Friendship Center,
okay.
and Malia Fox has been just so helpful in getting, finding people who are there who, you know, graduated in high school that year or,
oh.
you know, had strong memories of that. And so I go down and I do interviews with them.
Oh, cool.
And to get stories,
mm-hmm.
I try not to use their stories directly, but I might reference, you know, certainly I'm looking for the attitudes that they had about things that were going on
okay.
in town and in the
sure.
world. So I try not to change the names to protect the innocent.
Right, for sure, of course.
Because,
of course.
You know, again, that's just fodder for me to make a story up.
Mm-hmm.
So...
What was the general attitude in Winona about the war and things that were going on?
Well, I think you had, like everywhere else in the country, both ends of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
You had the people that, you know, my father served, my grandfather served, I'm going to serve, there's no question asked.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other hand, we also had at St. Mary's, Brother Basil, who was arrested in Milwaukee for burning draft records.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we had the gamut here in town.
Right. Oh, that's very interesting. How much, like you mentioned, reading the newspapers and things like that, is it really research intensive then to write something like this?
Yeah, it is. This probably wouldn't have even been possible to work the way that I do 10 years ago, mm-hmm. because, you know, the wealth of information that's available online, I can go, you know, what were the popular songs the year of 1968, the week of December?
Oh, okay, right.
And it was like, boom, there it is. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden that became a way to incorporate, okay, what was going on in the world at the time.
Okay. Do you have people actually singing on stage those songs, or are they kind of put in the show?
Some of those will be recorded, and some of those will be, that we'll use under BMI or ASCAP or whatever is appropriate. There are some songs that will be sung live.
Cool.
As well. So,
okay.
Previous productions, we've done almost everything live. Mm-hmm. Just because the music wasn't necessarily available.
Okay.
But again, once we hit that sort of mid-60s, this stuff is starting to really be available.
Out there online and everything, yeah. Sure. Are there particular, I know a lot of people used to do Christmas albums all the time. Are there some fun Christmas songs by stars?
Or? Oh, yes. I don't know if they'll be by stars, but they'll be by us pretending to be whoever we are.
Right.
Santa Baby.
Okay.
It didn't come out that year. It came out something earlier, but the sort of the popular version with Eartha Kitt hit in the mid-60s. So that was fair game.
Mm-hmm.
Elvis had just done his first comeback special.
Oh,
And those of you who know Elvis know that he did a series of comeback specials. Apparently he had a lot to come back from.
Right.
But that was his first comeback special, was in December of 1968.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to figure out a way to sneak an Elvis number in there. But I know it covered there's Dion, had Abraham, Martin, and John that year. Magic Carpet Ride.
Oh, wow.
Was out there. So, I mean, it was all over the map.
Okay, cool.
Those were the days.
Oh, wow. Okay. A lot of good old tunes.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. How is this different? Like you mentioned, there's less prep time for the radio show, things like that. How is it different writing for a radio show versus like a onstage play with acting and everything like that?
I don't have to concern myself with blocking particularly.
Okay.
So where the actors go, because the actors have to be at the mic.
Right. Okay.
Because otherwise we don't hear them.
Right.
So all the radio shows are static in terms of movement.
Mm-hmm.
They come up and they say their lines and they'll, act as that character while they're at the mic.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they go off the mic, they're now they're just an actor.
Okay.
Right? And so we will be spending some time in rehearsal. What are you doing when you're not talking? What kind of character are you before you walk up to the mic?
Right.
And I think there's some humor to be found in that. And it's one of the things that I encourage the actors to bring themselves to that process.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't think about that there are actually actors playing actors on stage.
Yeah, it's kind of a meta thing.
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's fun. I like that. So you mentioned they got to be up at the mic. What does the stage setup look like? What kind of, what does it look like for a radio show versus, a play has got sets and the backdrops.
Right. It's kind of a funny hybrid that we do. A true radio show would have nothing. You'd just be in a studio. Right.
Okay. Sure.
But I try to give it a feeling of that period, whatever period it happens to be, because I think that's having some sort of visual remembrance helps you as you suspend your disbelief in going into the story. So we'll have an area that is the radio station, and we'll try to make it look like a 1968 basement radio station. With posters and
that
sort of thing. And then we'll have another section that is, the home, because I usually try to include a family in one of these just because, we we have strong memories related to Christmas and families and that sort of thing. And so there's almost always a number of family-related scenes.
Okay.
So we'll have a little kind of a house, maybe a table and that sort of thing. And then there will be sort of a neutral space that will be wherever else we happen to be.
Oh, wow.
Because we do wander around Winona a little bit in the radio show.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you'll show people kind of in the community then also, huh?
Right. So, you know, like there's a couple of scenes that take place over at St. Martin's where a DJ is recording the Christmas program that would play on the radio on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
Right.
That was a common practice. The radio stations would go around and record these things. So, you know, I'm learning a fair bit about the history of radio production
in Winona,
but also, you know, around the country as well. Mm-hmm.
Right. So when you do that, do you have like a choir or something or a band singing and doing the Christmas?
Oh, yeah. Song? Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes it's been a combo. One year it was just a pianist.
Okay.
We'll probably have a pianist, and I'm not sure what other things we'll have, but we'll have a choral event as well.
Okay. You mentioned you have a family set up like in a home. Are they gathered around the radio listening to the show while it's going on? Or how does that work?
They might be. In previous years, that was definitely like in the 1940s, for example.
Sure.
Radio was a piece of furniture, and everybody gathered around and that sort of thing. Once we get into the 1960s, it's a little different. You have the kitchen radio, and then you might have a different radio in another room, and that's so there's some of that going on. And the kids, of course, had transistors.
Oh, right. Like Gidget.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So they had television too, so I suppose the radio was less of a family.
Right, and you know, at some level in the future, I'll have to think about, you know, whether we incorporate television as a part of the radio show, but I haven't quite figured out how that works yet.
Right.
Because, you know, I have to keep thinking of the audience that can only hear rather than see it.
Right. Okay. Did they ever broadcast, like, kind of combine the two back then? Did they ever have, what is that show? Prairie Home Companion? Where it's a live radio show like that, but it's visual. Did they do that back then, like broadcast on television, the radio show? Or?
You know, I'm not sure.
Okay.
They could have. I'm betting that they probably did, because a lot of the early television really was nothing but a radio show taken onto a stage.
Oh.
And then they would start adding more visual elements to it. But you think of all the variety shows that used to be on up to and including Carol Burnett and Ed Sullivan and that sort of thing, which could work really well on radio for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Carol Burnett started to get a lot more visual with slapstick and that kind of a thing, but you could have done Ed Sullivan without
without
a television at all.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure you have a sound effects artist up there, right?
Yep.
I always thought it'd be fun to do that. Are there any specific sounds that they make that are really interesting in the way they produce them? Or?
We haven't done any for this particular year. We've had some years where we've had to get very creative in making our sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Steve wrote a piece for one of the shows where we had to have a turntable. So it sounded like, you know, one of those carnival gigs where they used to throw the knives at people.
Had
to have the sound of the wheel going around.
Oh, wow.
And then the knives.
Cool.
And so he had made this device that made the rotating sound and then had a knife that we stuck in a block.
In a block of wood?
Or? Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So, sometimes it gets pretty creative.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time it's footsteps. It's is it footsteps on the floor? Is it footsteps in snow? So you take box of cornstarch and twist it, and it sounds pretty much like footsteps in the snow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Neat.
So, you know, there'll be some of that, door slams and that kind of thing.
Sure. How do you do a door slam without a door?
Well, there's actually a small door that has a lock and a latch, and you just slam it.
Oh, wow.
Near the microphone.
Like a miniature, then.
Yeah, a miniature, right.
Okay. Cool. And when is the play going to be and where?
It is going to be at right here at Winona State, mm-hmm. In the Black Box Theater.
Right, okay.
And that'll be on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, December 15th, 16th, and 17th.
Okay.
On Friday and Saturday, it's at 7:30. On Sunday, it's at 2 o'clock.
Okay, okay. And how much are tickets and where can people get them?
Tickets are $15 in advance. You can get them at Chapter 2 Books or on Brown Paper Tickets. Okay. And they're $18 at the door. And there's a student price, too, that I'm not going to guess at what the price is, so I'm not
right.
accused of lying.
Right. Okay. Okay. Well, it's been great talking to you today.
Yes.
Thank you. Again, so it's at the Black Box Theater starting the 15th, right?
15th right.
through
that is correct.
17th?
Yep.
Okay, great, great. Well, I've been here with Paul Santarude today, and we've been talking about the 6th annual Christmas show that's going to be here at the Black Box Theater.
I noticed that you all had an anniversary this week as well.
Yeah, we did.
You started KQAL
75.
75.
Yeah. So
maybe I should write a play about KQAL in the early days.
Ooh, that would be cool. A college radio station.
As long as I don't get sued for libel.
Right. Well, that'd be really neat in the year of 1968, too, on a college campus, I suppose. Okay, great. Well, thanks for joining us today, Paul. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for the time.
And I hope the show turns out well, and it sounds like it's going to be really fun.
Yeah,
so.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Thanks again to Paul Santarude for joining us today on ArtBeat. More information on this year's Christmas radio show can be found at theaterdumiss.org. I'm Bill Stoneberg, and this has been ArtBeat.
ArtBeat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.